underestimate what he's doing in you and with us and through us, because he's still blessing and he's still increasing and he's still multiplying and he's still sending us forth. Amen. Amen. If you believe that, why don't you give God a hand of praise? You still in seat? Are you in seat? Are you still in seat? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We're here as we celebrate the Lord and his goodness. We celebrate choir day, all choirs. You all look beautiful and you sang beautifully to the glory of God. And handsome. Thank you all. Thank you all so much. So much. You good? Bless the Lord. You want to say something? You sure? Okay, well, if you do, just let me know, because you're looking like you want to say something. I just want to be sure. Amen. 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 At any time, let me know. You know, you're free to say something. Amen. But folks, we're just celebrating the goodness of the Lord and rejoicing in him. Thank you all so much for your music ministry, for allowing God to use you. Everything God does, he does for his purpose and for his glory. And because of that, we're on a journey, brothers and sisters, of discovering what God's purposes are. Amen. And then by faith, embracing those purposes of God so that we can get hooked up and get positioned where God wants his people to be. It's nothing worse, or it's, I guess few things worse, but there's nothing worse to me than not knowing your purpose. You know, that's the question that people have asked probably since the beginning of time. Who am I? Where am I? Why am I here? And it would be a shame to go through one's entire life and never find out why we are here, who we really are. So God has given us, he's breathed on mankind so that they would write, inspired by the Holy Spirit, what we call the Holy Scriptures of God, showing his history, how he dealt with humanity. From the very beginning, even through the culmination of time into eternity, as revealed to us even by the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. So as we study the scriptures, as we meditate, and as we nurture our relationships with God, he begins to reveal to us who we are, who he is, why we are, what our purpose is for being here. And once you get that revelation, that in and of itself is enough to anchor us through whatever testings and trials and tribulations that we may experience, because we know we're not here by chance. We know we're not here by accident, but we're here by God's design and for God's glory. And everything else then we can work out. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We can begin now to work out what God has put in us. Amen. So just for a little while this morning, I was going to say a few minutes, but it's going to be more than a few minutes. But for a little while this morning, just want to talk about that in relation to singing and music and the ministry that we have. Going to give a couple of passages of scripture, but as we start this thought for this morning, I was thinking, I was praying, well, God, what is it that I would say, first of all, that the people may or may not have heard before? It's probably not much that you haven't heard before over all of these years. But God has a way of still bringing revelation and bringing insight and bringing depth of knowledge, even out of things that we've previously heard. How many have ever had that happen? Amen. We say it often. You can read the same scripture, the same text. You can go back to it over and over again. Next year, 6 months, 2 years. And God keeps showing you more revelation out of that same text. And you're wondering, man, I've read this a dozen more times. I never saw that before. But at the right time, God will open up the scripture and show us depths of revelation, of truth that we had never seen. So we keep digging, we keep studying, we keep praying, we keep searching the scriptures, we keep talking with God and allowing God to talk to us, and he'll mature and develop us as his people. So why do we sing? What is this whole thing of sound and music? If we believe that God created everything, and how many believe God created everything? Amen. God created everything. Now, because of the fall of man, some things have been distorted. Some things have been perverted. Some things have been misused and abused for other purposes. But God created everything, and everything with its purpose. And that includes light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. It also includes sound. God is the creator of sound. And not only is the God the creator of sound, but since he's the creator of sound, God is also the creator of organized sound, arranged sound, what we would call music, of beats, of tempo, right? Of harmonies, and all of the other lingo and language that represents sound being organized and being created and being established and structured and all of that. God has created it all. Then God gives these gifts. He breathes and he releases the sounds that we hear in nature. Sounds that humans can't even always hear, but animals can detect and are influenced by. Amen. All this stuff that we've read, that we've learned over time, and stuff we see on the History Channel and on the Science Channel, and all this stuff about sound and how fast it travels, and all the animals that respond to things that we can't even hear and detect with our human ears. But God is the originator, the creator of sound. Like, I'm giving some scripture in a couple of minutes, but I just want you to think about this. Because what God does is he gives sound and he gives voice to everything that he creates. The Bible says all nature declares his glory. The firmaments, the universe declare God's majesty. Everything is speaking. That's why the scripture says, let everything that has voice praise ye the Lord. Everything. Everything speaks. Amen. We may not understand its language. We may not understand what it's saying, but everything in all of God's creation is speaking and glorifying him and praising him and worshiping him and communicating with others. Just stay with me. I don't want you to think I'm too far out there. But God wants his people to understand he's bigger than what we know and what we understand and what we perceive. And he always wants to stretch us to see things the way he sees them. You know, we talk about this all the time. God wants us to begin to see things the way he sees them, so that he can stretch us beyond the flesh, beyond our emotions, beyond our feelings, into the realm of the spirit, where God lives, where God moves, and where everything else flows out of. Okay, so just stay with me for a few minutes. We're just going to keep talking as the Holy Spirit leads us. So everything is speaking. The Bible even talks about, and I've shared it before, it gives an example of someone who was about to be chosen to lead a group of people, a nation of people. And they were considering who to choose. Then the lesson writer, the Bible talks about, they went to the trees. And as the trees started talking, who's going to rule over us? That's in the scripture. Y'all need to go find it. And they looked at this little bramble bush, these little weeds and all that. They went to all these different trees, the mighty trees like of Lebanon, these big trees, saying, will you rule over us? They said, I'm not going to mess with y'all. So they ended up settling on some little weed, some little minuscule bush. But the concept is even nature is talking to each other to determine who's going to give guidance and leadership and direction. If nature is communicating, do you think those of us that are made in the likeness and image of God should be able to even communicate on a higher level, the level where God lives? He's created us to be like him, to have the mind of Christ. According to 2 Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. So God wants to elevate our thinking from those base ways of thinking and doing things. We are not animals. I know we're included for science in that species, but God has created us like him. Amen. With his likeness and his image. He's put man in a class all by himself, in the God class. And the Bible says because of the fall of man, man's fall ushered him into sin. And because he fell into sin, now his mind begins to process things lower than God intended. And that's where mankind lived until Jesus came. But that's where many of mankind still lives. Those who are not saved, those who have not, according to Romans 12, renewing their minds, where he says that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed, 12:1-2, by the renewing of our minds that we may prove or approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to call our thinking up. Amen. So here's the thing with music. Because it is God-given, everything God gives, it's given to be a blessing. It's given to help, to increase, to bless. Once it's perverted, now that which God intended to be a blessing can be a curse. That which God intended to help and to encourage and to soothe and to comfort mankind can be a burden, can be troubling. Here you go. Different genres of music. Different genres of music can affect us in different ways. Different melodies, different arrangements, different notes can affect us in different ways. And if we don't understand that, we'll be drawn into things. You wonder why you're angry sometimes. Not knowing that something you could have heard, some music, some melody, some trailer to something has affected your subconscious. Or else you're peaceful and you're calm and you're relaxed after you've listened to a certain kind of music that soothed you. Or, brother's got a tape back there, he talked about other gospel, he said, in his words, not mine, that can put you in the mood to do certain things. All because of the music, the notes, the sounds, the harmonies, the tempo. All of these things can affect us in different ways. There's a sound for battle, the Bible says. That when the shofar, when the sound goes forth, the people knew it was time to get ready for war. There's also a sound for rest. You've listened to meditative music, you know, contemplative music, seascape and all this kind of stuff that just chills you out, calms you down, kind of soothes you. The Bible says that David, after he had, that Saul, after he had rebelled against God, the Spirit of God was removed from Saul and an evil spirit came upon him. And the only way that he could be soothed was for David to play cunningly or skillfully to be upon his harp to be able to soothe the spirit of Saul. You talk about something powerful. Music that comes from God is powerful. Still ain't gave you no scripture yet, but I'm going to give you some. I promise I'm going to give you some. So just stop and think about this. What's going on? And I want you to look at it on the level of man. When that which is pure comes from God to the spirit of man, it results, it produces God's intent. Something that's good, something that blesses, something that comforts, something that soothes, something that heals, something that gives peace, something that ushers in rest. When the very same thing comes to the soul of man, it has a completely different effect. The soul of man then can move these things in different places. You've heard rock music or acid rock music and some stuff. You can't make out the lyrics, but they're jumping around and they're kicking over the microphone stands. They're crashing up their guitars and people are screaming and going into a frenzy. It's the music and the spirit that's behind the music that invokes, that causes that kind of response. They'll tear up stuff. Just break up their own instruments. Kick, blow, they will. Yeah. It's the music and the spirit behind the music. And then if they're not restrained, that leads to other things. A lot, you see them now, they're wearing the weird makeup and men with all the makeup and the crazy stuff, because it begins to affect them physically and emotionally. This isn't a light thing. It's important. God wants us to understand. I've given you the gift of music, and if you use it rightly, it will bless you. But if you pervert it and distort it, that which was intended to be a blessing now can be a curse. Because man, it's contamination and perversion. So we need to be cautious what we're listening to. We really do. Well, some people just turn on me. Well, it's just in the background. I'm going about my work. I'm working at my desk, or I'm at home cleaning and doing stuff. And the music's just in the background. It's in the background, but it's also going into our spirit, into our ears. And whether we know it or not, it's affecting us. So it's not long before your head starts bumping. And you're doing whatever, then your feet start patting. Then your body starts swaying and moving. And if it's a familiar jam, you start singing it, huh? Amen. You've heard me sing some songs from the pulpit. And as soon as I hit that note, y'all start. We were talking about one Sunday, we were talking about just staying focused and being here. If you're going to be here, be here. And somebody struck up that song, your body's here with me. And y'all started singing, but your mind is on the other side of town. Y'all know the jam. Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds good too, don't it? And you start swearing and singing that thing and miss the whole message. The message is, if you're going to be here, be here. Be in the moment. Be engaged. Be attentive so you can get everything that God wants you to get. Don't be on your cell phones. Don't be texting. Don't be all somewhere else. Be here. I ain't get the message. I just went with the song, So anyway, and then, brothers and sisters, psalmist singers, when David was about to transition and release the kingship to Solomon, Bible talks about how he called together all of the priests and all the Levites, and as he set everybody in their station and in their place and in their course, God's plan was that each tribe each of the course Levite, they would have times that they would serve. So they would serve for a month, then they'd be able to go home, then the next shift or course would come, and they would do this year round. So everybody wouldn't have to stay at the tabernacle or at the temple for a whole year. They only stayed for a designated period of time. Then they were able to go home with their families and everything. Then when it was time for them to come, they would come back. And as they first set these people by courses, it talks about the sons of Asaph in one place, how the sons of Asaph, they were set by David to be able to prophesy through their music. Prophesy through their music. You all talked about it some yesterday in the little gathering, that when we come together, it's not just to sing, but it's for worship. Is to encourage each other. But do you know that God also wants to be able to release to those that are yielded to him prophetic words and songs that have never been heard before, never been written before, coming directly from God, equipping the singers, the psalmists, equipping you to be able to release what heaven is saying and doing now through your words, through your lyrics, through your songs. Not just singing the most popular thing that's out today, but taking the time to examine it. Is it consistent with scripture? Now, God, take this and give me a revelation for me. And then when I get up to sing it, anoint it and bless it, or to play it so that it can minister to those that will be present to hear it. Your ministry is so vital, so important. Why do you think Satan attacks it so fiercely? Fierce attacks on the pulpit and on the music ministry. So he would like nothing better than to corrupt and contaminate and to get people so angry and disgusted at what's coming across the pulpit and what's being ministered by the choirs and the ministers of music. You know, I did a thing some years ago entitled Bridging the Gap between the music pastoral ministry and the music ministry, and how there was always conflict or often friction there. When the pastor wanted to do one song and the director of music gets upset because they had rehearsed something, they wanted to do something else, and all kinds of things. Look, you stay in your lane. You preach and let us play. No. It doesn't work like that. No. We've got to be discerning at how God has so set up things for the blessing of the people. So there's a great attack. There's attack upon the preachers. Attack of one's sexuality. A lot of issues going on with homosexuality and things in the pulpit, and same-sex marriage in the pulpit, and all these types of things contrary to scripture. If you get mad, that's okay. I don't care. Right? Then it affects the choirs. Many of the musicians and many of the choir directors are homosexual and gay and flamboyant and flighty and all these kinds of things. And that affects the whole spirit of the music that we're seeking to convey. And though it may sound good and it may be harmonious and people may get excited because the lyrics are scriptural, but the vessel, the vehicle through which it comes, has been contaminated and perverted and tainted. So God wants us, he says, you have this treasure in these earthen vessels, these vessels that he sanctifies, that he washes, that he cleanses, and he sets them apart for himself to serve him so that he can fill us with his spirit and then use us for his glory. And so I promise you some scripture, so I'll give you a couple of passages of scripture. Turn with me, first of all, to Psalm 100, very familiar psalm. We're not going to stay there long. There's a song we used to sing, and I'm trying to think of it. It'll come to me because I want to make a comment, so I know it's going to come to me because the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to me. But then as we think about it, think in terms, well, Psalm 100, then I'll tell you where we're going. Then we'll be closed for this morning. So it says, make a joyful noise or a joyful sound unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful sound unto the Lord, all ye lands, all those that are his. We should be joyful. We should be rejoicing. We should be a happy people, a glad people. Not that we are not tested, but because God is faithful. Not that we haven't been through anything. When they asked for the breast cancer survivors to stand, when you saw you all stand, it was such a joy because we know that you've been through something. And that God had kept you and preserved you and brought you through, and you're still serving God and you're still really encouraging others. It's not in the absence of trials and testings. It's even in the midst of being tried and tested that we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's in the midst of the attacks of the enemy that we can praise God anyhow. The Bible says that praise will still the avenger to the glory of God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When you come and sing, open your mouth and give God some praise. I was looking at a book I happened to find in my library just yesterday. I was collecting some things. I just snapped up this little book, peeped in it, and I saw some lady doing some gestures with her body and stuff. So let me take this home and look at it. So I took it home and glanced through it, and she had taken the scriptures. You know, we do praise dance and everything, and interpretive dance. She had taken the scriptures and just used that to demonstrate how we should just breathe. And open up and worship and glorify God. Not because we have an audience other than God, but because we're communing and worshiping and giving him praise. And it was set to the Psalms and to some hymns of the church. And it was a blessing as I flipped through it. But we're not worshiping because we haven't been through anything. In fact, we're worshiping because he's worthy. We're praising God because even though we've been through, he was there with us in the struggle, in the trouble. And as Psalm 91 says, he'll deliver you and honor you. And with long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. So he says, make a joyful noise. And one of the things that the book was saying, listen, if you're going to sing a hymn, whatever you're going to do, set up straight, put your shoulders back, put a smile on your face, and open your mouth and sing like you know who you're singing to and what you're singing about. Huh? I'm talking about the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm grumpy. And I've got a frown, the joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy. No, if the joy of the Lord is our strength, then rear back and open your mouth and declare, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. Act like you know. Act like you mean it. Well, what if it don't come out right? Even if it don't come out right, it'll come out pleasing to God. Because he said, make a joyful sound. You don't have to be to sing like the next person. It just has to emanate from a heart that's grateful. That's grateful. So where are we? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Then serve the Lord with gladness. Huh? What's so hard about that? Whatever we do in word or in deed, do it unto the Lord Jesus. Do it heartily. Do it gladly. I was glad, the psalmist said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I've been waiting for this all week to go into the house of the Lord. I couldn't wait. I was on my job. People were acting crazy. And I was just thinking, if I could just go to the house of the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Somebody ran into my car, but that's okay. I just want to get into the presence of God with the people of God. I know when I get to the house of God, somebody there gonna give me a hug. Somebody there gonna say it's good to see you. Somebody there is gonna pray with you. Somebody there is gonna show me some love. Somebody there knows what I've been through all week long because they've been going through the same stuff. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We're in this thing together. Let us unite together and go to the house of the Lord. And let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Huh? God has so set up the tabernacle, the temple. He set up the tabernacle so that we could get revelation on our tabernacles. Yeah. And so when he set up the tabernacle, he had an outer court, an inner court, and then the holy, the most holy place, or the holy of holies. And in the outer court, the first thing in the outer court was the brazen altar. And the brazen altar was the place where the animals were brought and sacrificed. And once they were sacrificed, the blood was captured. Then the blood was sprinkled where God, through Moses, had ordained for the blood to be sprinkled. Then they went into the inner court where they had the altar of incense. Some say the altar of incense. And upon that altar of incense, of course, incense was offered up. They would come in the morning and make sure it was lit, come in the evening, make sure it was lit. And that represents the prayers that go up to God from the saints and the communion with God. Then they would go into the holy place where they had the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence, the manifest presence of God. Now there were other items, the candlesticks and different things, all the light representing Christ and a lot of other things, but that's the totality of man. The outer court, the body. The inner court, the mind, the soul, the emotions. And the most holy place, the spirit of man. And what he was saying, when you come into communion and you're seeking to worship and fellowship with God, you've got to start with the sacrificing of self. I can't stay focused on me and really worship God. God wants to deal with me. You deal with you in the outer court. You deal with you, because the closer you come to me, you've got a transition in how you think. So we start thinking about ourselves, what I've been through today, what my week was like, what's been going on in my life, who cut me off this morning on my way to church, all this kind of stuff. Then we get in and we just start thanking God. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you that you brought me through. Thank you for your faithfulness. However you want to thank him, you thank him for what he's done. Then we move past that inner court into the place of worship. So the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Huh? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Know that he is the true and the living God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then he says, now when you recognize and meditate on that, now you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Then be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. There has to be a mindset change, because we know that he is God. And because I know he is God, I know he's got me. He's going to fix it. He can work it out. Whatever I bring to him, he is more than able. So he wants to move us beyond the self our focus. Move us into that place of worship and thanksgiving for what he has done. And then into that place of worship. And we know that Jesus in John 4 said that those that worship me must what? Worship me how? In spirit and in truth. Means you got to get past the flesh. Get past the emotions. Emotions aren't part of who we are, but we got to get past that where your mind is just wandering all over the place. You're trying to pray and your mind is wandering. We're trying to study and our mind is wandering. We said, God, I'm going to pray this time. I'm going to pray for 1 hour, and then the phone rings or someone knocks on the door. Or your phone buzzes and you got to stop to check to see if you got a message. Or what happened to praying for that 1 hour? That went on out the window because I got distracted. But we move past all of that into that most holy place where we are now communing with God spirit to spirit. You see that?
Yes.
We're just about done. So he says we're going to enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Then we're going to go deeper into the courts with praise. Going to be thankful unto him and bless his name. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures for all generations. So with our music and with our singing, brothers and sisters, he wants it to move just beyond how it makes us feel. That's an important thing. It can make you feel good. It can, again, it can comfort. It can soothe. It can help you go to sleep. They're playing music in dentist offices. Doctor, anything to keep your mind from hearing that drill and all that stuff so that you can meditate on the music. So the world is beginning to understand better the effects and benefits of music, but they haven't a clue that the children of God should have to the depths of how powerful the music of God is and can be. When you sing, I want you to sing to the glory of God. I want you to be open for God to move prophetically, open for God to reveal new things, his mysteries to us through his songs. When you write a song, I want you to submit it to the Holy Spirit and let him give you the lyrics and anoint that song so that it's not just got a nice little beat and a catchy little phrase, but every time you play it, every time it's sung, it ministers to somebody. It touches somebody to give them hope and to give them an assurance and to uplift their spirit and to encourage them to keep going on walking with the Lord, trusting in the Lord, knowing that he is good and that he is faithful. So much more, but I think I'm going to get ready to stop here. Just think about that. God, the Levites, they were assigned the service in, really in the worship, in the tabernacle, in the temple. Judah, of the 12 tribes, if you look at any of the pictures, you remember there's like gates around the tabernacle. And when the 12 tribes would come, God designated which tribe would be positioned where. So all 12 tribes had their place around the tabernacle outside. Then when it was time to assemble and come in, they would come in line according to how God had designated them to come in. It was Judah that had the responsibility of coming in first. Judah carried the ark of God, the presence of God. Judah means God be praised. And it was Judah's response, the tribe of Judah, responsibility. You're going to be lined up. You coming in first. You're going to take the ark. When it's time to leave, you leaving out first. You're going to take the ark of God and you're going to lead the rest of the tribes into battle. You're going to lead the rest of the tribes to the next place where God is taking you. I thank God he's telling us praise ought to lead you. Praise and worship ought to lead you to battle. You got something going on in your life as you worship God and praise God. That ought to lead us as we get ready to go forward. You're facing a tough situation. Praise ought to lead us as we make our decisions how to go forward. You're dealing with some obstacles that seem insurmountable. Praise ought to lead us as we go before God and ask him, how are we to proceed so that we can come out victoriously? See, singing and losing don't work. If you're going to sing, we want to sing and win. You're going to shout, shout. But then after you shout, win. You're going to dance, dance. Then after you dance, win the war. Fight the good fight of faith. Folks, let me tell you something, and then I've got to close. There are a lot of people groups, peoples of the world, that can be very hospitable. They can be very congenial. They can be very humble and respectful in greeting you and so on. But then when it's time to go to war, they can be ruthless. Amen. You need to hear. They can be ruthless when it's time to fight. And it's gentle when they're greeting and so forth. You look at some of the folks you see them talking on TV and some of your, some of the Eastern countries and so forth. And when the representatives talk, they talk very soft spoken. Very congenial. You listen to the prime ministers. You listen. They can talk very softly. Well, we're peaceful people. And we mean no one any harm. And we da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you find out they're chopping off people's heads. They're cutting them up in pieces. Huh? We need to know that now there's a message there. The Bible says be wise as serpents. But be harmless as doves. But then when it's time to fight, you fight to win. That didn't get too many claps, but that's right anyway. When it's time to fight, you fight to win. Because you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for posterity. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for generations to come. Be harmless. Be gentle as a dove. Be meek. Be humble. Jesus was all of that. And he's the conquering king who defeated Satan, who defeated death, who defeated hell, and defeated the grave. If you're going to fight, fight to win. Fight wisely. Fight by the Spirit of God. But fight to win. David says, I'm going to grind them like powder under my feet. When I go out to war, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. When it's time to fight, I'm going to crush them. And I'm going to grind them to powder. Then I'm going to throw their remains in. I mean, they fight to win. Let me make sure I'm clear as we finish. Now when you fight spiritually, fight the good fight of faith. Fight to win. Don't go chopping nobody's head off. Deal with it in the spirit and fight to win. God, you promised me my whole household. I'm fighting for them. What do I do to win? God, you promised me that you were going to bring us out of captivity. How do we fight this fight to win? God, you promised us that we are a blessed people. We shouldn't be oppressed. We shouldn't be in bondage. We shouldn't be in slavery. We shouldn't be the poorest people on the planet. We shouldn't be broke. And now how are we going to fight to win? Lord, my children, they're out there. How are we going to fight to bring them in? God's a winner. I said, God's a winner. God's a winner. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. God's a winner. And we are winners too, brothers and sisters. Praise God, saints. When you sing, praise Him in victory. The praise team led us today. I'm walking in victory. You know, there is a sound of victory. There is a sound of victory. And God wants His people, whenever you sing, sing victoriously. You don't understand, Pastor, I'm going through. Yes, I do understand. That's the time to sing victoriously. That's the time when you confuse the enemy. The Bible talked about God setting up an ambushment against the enemy, confusing the enemy. That the sound was so, they thought the enemy, Israel was coming at them from all different directions. Because God had confused them with the sound. Amen. Amen. Children of Israel marched around Jericho. And I'm going to stop here. Marched around Jericho. And he said, listen, I don't want you to say nothing. I don't want you to make no noise. I just want you to walk around Jericho. Day one, you walk around Jericho. Don't say nothing. Just walk. Day two, walk around Jericho. Don't make a sound. Just walk. Day three, walk around Jericho. Don't make a sound, just walk. Day four, day five, day six, walk around Jericho. Don't make a sound, just walk. Now on the seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times. And after you walk around, I want you to shout. Huh. When they walked around those seven times and let out that shout, the Bible says the walls of Jericho fell flat. There's some things that's going on in our lives, and God wants to give us instructions on when to shout, when to celebrate, when to let your voice be heard so that you can get the victory. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut until God says, now you speak, now you shout, now you praise, now you sing, and then you win the victory. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. We are